This is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
Okay, it is the Lombardi Line as we welcome you back on this Black Friday, November 25th, 2022. VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Michael Lombardi back. Second round of COVID. My man, I think he tried to come back yesterday on Thanksgiving. There was no way. You were still under the weather yesterday. Probably still a little under the weather today, but you're playing through it.
You know, but your brain's foggy. That's the hard thing. You know, you start to try to write an email, and you can't even, like, get the typewriter just doesn't work together. You know, it's like, whoa, what's going on here? You know,
The brain fog is legit. The brain fog is legit. He's back. Excited to have him back, of course, Saturday and Sunday. Big-time Lombardi shows here on the VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. So we look forward to the shows coming up tomorrow. It's weird. With the holiday, it kind of throws our – it feels like the weekend, although it's still just Friday, as we had three games on Thanksgiving yesterday. To discuss those and more, we welcome in the Hall of Famer from behind the book there at the South Point. He's our partner, Vinny Maliulo. And first, we say happy Thanksgiving. Happy holidays, Vinny. Nice to see you.
Hey, guys, good to be with you. Happy Thanksgiving. Michael, just a tonic for you. Forget the meds. Nothing like a three-teamer. A little three-teamer will set you right. You don't even have to use a syringe, you see.
Well, spoken like a true degenerate.
Good to be with you guys.
Good to have you, Vinny. Are there any?
What a day, Vinny. What a day you got going. You got soccer. You got football. Yep. You got college football. I mean, it's one of those huge days here.
Yeah, you know, I have to tell you guys, and I'm not gonna sit here and say that the betting on soccer is anything near what it is to college and pro football. However, it is more when it comes to the World Cup, particularly. With the fact that the USA is playing, and of course that's going to be a big game. It's a very heavily bet game, and I'll tell you how they're betting it in a second. But the thing about the World Cup is, you know, I remember a time when the World Cup was kind of an afterthought, except to a few of my uncles who came over on the boat from the old country, and we used to have to, you know, hook up the rabbit ears and try to hang out on the fire escape and stand on one leg and throw a piece of prosciutto on the antenna to try to get the reception in. But now when in 1994 when the World Cup was here and the television started to get involved, people became more interested in it. And of course, the success of our women's team over the years has really added to it. So these games here with, you know, this being a 24-hour operation, we're a 24-hour town, a three-shift town, and the games being televised all around, every game being televised, has added to the handle, and folks are really excited about it. Now, as far as the USA game today against England, believe it or not, the folks are, initially, you know, the public, it's funny. There's a similar element to the way these games are bet. Public likes and supports the USA. Professional bettors will look to take advantage of that and try to arbitrage it and say, okay, you know what, I'm going to go with the price. Again, professional bettors, they don't bet teams, they bet prices. And the USA, England, we opened minus one goal. We're using a goal line here at South Point, not the three-way. So we use, regulation time and stoppage time. So England was minus a goal, minus 105, and public bet the USA at minus 15, minus 20. So they took the USA. Pros are looking to take the price with England today.
It's going to be fun. The atmosphere is going to be great there at the South Point. If you're in town, stop by. It's a neighborhood shop. It doesn't get any better. Before we move on to what happened yesterday with the three on Thanksgiving, are there any Thanksgiving traditions at the Maliulo household that we should be aware of yesterday?
Well, yeah. I mean, listen, first of all, it's all about the family and the food, right? I mean, you know, of course, the three Fs, you got the family, food, and football. But I love this show, this time, every time we do this Thanksgiving show, Michael and I get to share the food part of it, where you know, we get the traditional American fare of turkey and, stuffing. We call it stuffing. My wife calls it dressing, but that's a debate for another time. You know, all the, all the, tri- but that meal comes after, you know, the antipasto and the lasagna, and of course the meatballs and the sausage. So, you know, we have dinner, and then we have Thanksgiving. So, you know, it's, you know, there's still, it's like a nonstop. It's a marathon, just like at Michael's house.
There can't be nothing. There's nothing better than lasagna. And you could just ask my man Bill Berman, who's been eating it for the last couple of days. So don't worry about it. It's all covered. You know, we got that handled. That was already made. So there's nothing like it. The one thing that gave me agita yesterday was, I want to ask you, Vinny, we didn't touch on this in the first hour. Was that the all-time backdoor cover by the Giants that you've ever seen in your life?
It's definitely one of the more memorable ones on Thanksgiving, for sure, Michael. I mean, you know, there's no such thing as a meaningless score. I've always said that, and I will continue to maintain it. And, you know, this year, so much more than a lot of years, when you look at this NFL season, the games, from our perspective, right, on our side of the counter, they come down to that last possession. And, you know, it's, you know, I remember years ago and love it. And there was a lot of tributes yesterday to John Madden, right? But they would start, you know, even if a game was a blowout, or, you know, it was pretty much decided. Remember, they used to go to the turkey, and he had like extra legs on it and all this stuff. Meanwhile, the room would be screaming because, you know, one of the teams would be driving and it impacted the total, or it impacted the back door, or something like that. So, yeah, there's.
When Maher missed that field goal, I bet you guys put your forks down and said, oh no, we're in trouble here now. This is not going to be good.
The brioche was flowing early.
I could see that. When he missed that 46-yarder, I said to Big Daddy Vince, I said, Big Daddy, this is going to be, and he didn't understand, like, well, this guy's still going to, no, that Parsons not even going to be on the field. They could care less about it.
That's right.
They're just going to drive this ball right down the field. Oh, need a touchdown? Yeah. Here's a nice, you need a personal foul to go 15 yards to get you closer? We'll give you that too. Sure.
I know. How did it turn out?
To Michael's question, we could start with the Cowboys and Giants. How'd that turn out for you? Who'd you need there?
Actually, the games, it kind of combined. You know, we needed dogs, yet, you know, even though two of the dogs did cover, the overs came in those late two games. So yesterday went to the betters overall, honestly. I mean, there was support for the Lions yesterday morning, so you know that game came through for the bettors there. Of course, the Lions, what we could have used was the Lions outright. There was also quite a bit of late Bills money line action, but the fact that the two afternoon games went over, there were a lot of parlays, a lot of three teamers yesterday. I was just talking to Chris Andrews, director here at South Point, my dear friend. And, of course, Jimmy Vaccaro, and we were sitting there talking and looking over things. Lots came in terms of three- and four-teamers, and the two afternoon games, both going over, definitely were supported by the bettors yesterday.
Well, that's bettors like to get exotic when they have a full day. They don't have to work that day. They're having cocktails. The bets kind of stretch throughout the day. They like to get exotic on days like Thanksgiving. And by the way, Vinny's not, don't cry for Vinny, but what the books like, and they won't tell you this, is they like the bettors, Michael, to have a good Thursday, because then they come into the weekend with this renowned, like this renewed sense of vigor. And then they just give it all back and more on Saturday and Sunday. Basically, what I'm saying, Vinny, is you're running a racket. Would you like to respond?
Well, I would certainly like to, Maher, because you continuously make it seem like that we cry and we gloat. We do neither. I mean, I'm looking out over the casino floor right now. Behind me, of course, is the book. We're still open, despite the fact that you are you know, gloating in the fact that you're, you know, killing it in soccer and in football.
Nope,
but
never said that.
The fact of the matter is, we're just good accountants. We do well at transferring funds. And remember, there would be no inflation if the bookmakers were running things right now. So let's just remember that. All right,
not
to get political.
We have no doubt about
you're
that.
Far off.
How about
we stimulate?
About
we keep the economy going. Let's remember that.
How about the ending of the Mississippi State Mississippi game? How did that impact you?
That one actually, you know, initially. During the week, Michael, it was Mississippi State got all the betting attention. because of the whole Kiffin, you know, speculation and, you know, the denial and things like that. And, of course, you know, we opened that game at 2.5. And they took not only did they take Mississippi State with the points, but they took them on the money line as well. So I would say, but we did get some late money on Mississippi there. So that game really didn't impact us as much. A small loss, but at one point it was pretty substantial. But we did wind up getting out of it. I'm actually pleasantly surprised that we did take some Mississippi money late, because we sure could have used it. But it was the NFL that the bettors did quite well with yesterday. And of course, you know, today, as you mentioned, I mean, it's just, you know, without you know, the NBA yesterday and the NHL, now today we've got, as you mentioned, we've got college football, we've got all of the soccer action, particularly highlighted by the USA and England game. But the NBA and NHL action, which is steady all day, in college basketball, again, makes this weekend the busiest betting weekend of the fall here in Las Vegas.
I love it. It's so good. I love it.
It's going to be nonstop. The action's going to be awesome. And I think you're going to have a full house coming up in about 45 minutes there. I think the South Point's going to be rocking today.
I want a cut of that hot dog cart today, Vinny.
Everybody
ate turkey yesterday. We got to get some pork in us. I mean, or some beef dogs. I don't know what she's serving, but that she's going to kill it today. I just tell you, she's going to kill it today.
It always comes back to the hot dog cart here on the Lombardi line. We'll go back the NFL. A couple fishy lines I want to run by Vinny, plus Florida State tonight as well.
You're listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, it's BetMGM. Of course, if you're in Vegas, bring your state-issue Nevada ID to an MGM property. When you do, you're going to be ready to bet within minutes. Also, remember, it's reconfigured, that being the BetMGM app. So the in-game experience is awesome. Visit BetMGM.com or download the app. Got to be 21 years or older. If you have a gambling problem, it's 1-800-GAMBLER. Okay, a busy Friday, an abnormal Friday. Of course, it's Black Friday as we welcome you back. I'm guessing, Michael Lombardi, you're probably not going to run out to the stores and stand in line to try to catch some deals today. Is that fair?
That would be 1,000% accurate. Yeah, lines, I don't do lines very good. It's not, I don't really have a very tolerance for patience when it comes to lines. So, you know, I'll get it done eventually. I'm like Yertle the Turtle. I'll process it and go slow, but I'll eventually get there.
Well, Vinny, of course, the Hall of Famer from behind the book there at the South Point, he said he might have to leave a minute early today for the segment because he and Jimmy Vaccaro are trying to get in line at the Target there.
Oh,
off
Silverado. I can't imagine.
So
there's no chance Jimmy Vaccaro is at a Target.
Where has Jimmy been?
The man's been a no-show the whole football season on our. Do you think he'd pop in on a Saturday and say hello, or a Sunday and say something? He doesn't do anything.
Okay. I will pass that message because Jimmy just walked by the studio and waved. So I will pass that message along.
I'm kind of hurt by it. I mean, it's okay. You know, I thought he would come in usually with his ticket. I'm not asking him to stay a whole segment. He can dispel some wisdom, and then he can get back to the whatever show he's watching in the back room.
You're right. But to Patrick's point, Jimmy makes two stops a day, McDonald's and Target.
He loves Target. I'm not making it up.
What are we doing at Target? What are we doing at Target? Like, what's going on there?
He just walks around, and if he sees something, well, you know, he's got it. Because Jimmy doesn't do a lot of laundry, so his wardrobe
is that
the
Target?
Jeans and the white
and the white South Point sweatshirt,
which they special order for him here, and but that's easy. But at Target, he gets his jeans, so he donates like jeans every month. You know, and he goes and buys a whole new set.
Calling it a wardrobe like Jimmy Vaccaro is Ralph Lauren is a bit of a stretch. He literally wears the same thing every single day. And he's got three things he loves to do, Vin. He likes to go to the spa, he likes to go to Target, and he likes to go to McDonald's. Tell me where I lie.
Yep. No, you're right there. That's the trifecta. That's the Jimmy Vaccaro trifecta, and he'll tell you.
What's the order at McDonald's?
Well, he gets his coffee, and, you know, but they already know how he. By the way, oftentimes when he goes, to the drive-in, but he walks up to the drive-in.
Oh, my
God. You see the cars, and you see this guy standing in line.
You can write a novel. Hold on. You can write a novel on this character.
Yeah.
This, no doubt.
I don't even think it's legal. I've tried when I was drinking in college, walking to a Taco Bell drive-thru, and they told me they were going to arrest me. Jimmy Vaccaro walks through it like he owns the joint.
Every now and then, yeah. If he gets in jail. Yeah, but you're not Jimmy, so, I mean, let's face it. You're staggering up. He's walking up there and, you know, very innocent in his white sweatshirt. They know him. They love him.
One thing we always joke about this, Michael, but let's just be very clear. The South Point, behind the book at the South Point, and I'll embarrass Vinny, a Hall of Famer in Vinny Melullo, who's been doing it forever. Chris Andrews, one of the most recognizable names in booking. And then Jimmy Vaccaro, who's just he's like a bon vivant legend. I mean, those are three Hall of Famers at one book there at the South Point in Henderson.
No doubt. Which
means we're thankful.
It's very nice of you to say that, Patrick. I have to tell you, very nice of you to say. And I get to, you know, it's an added bonus that I get to be with two of my closest friends and colleagues on a daily basis. I really enjoy it.
Can I just, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I do think it's important. What people don't realize about Vegas is how familial it is and neighborhoody. What makes the South Point so special is it's almost like you see the familiar faces, but you can have three Hall of Famers running a neighborhood book. But the rest of the shops and the rest of the books there on the strip, they look to your numbers because they're sharp and they're so respected. It's just a really interesting kind of layout in Vegas that I don't think people really understand the way it goes there, Vin.
Well, no, it's nice of you to say, Patrick. Look, you know, we take pride in what we do, and if you know we can share that with our colleagues in the industry, we're happy to do it. Well, you know, it's a fraternity / sorority, and you know that's also, I think, one of the things that also helps keep us going and doing the things that we do is to be consistent, to be fair, and frankly to have an open mind and continue to learn. A lot of times I'll hear some of the youngsters say, "Oh God, you've been doing this for over 40 years and you've seen it all." I say, "Well, no, I've seen a lot, but I've never seen it all. The minute I've seen it all, then it's probably time to retire." But there's still something to learn, and some of the things that we learn now are the fact that, frankly, bettors adjust, they adapt to different trends, to, you know, to everything from time changes to schedule changes and things like that. They're more educated than ever before, which is a good thing. It's actually helped break down intimidation barriers and increase business. And so, and frankly, you know, yeah, realizing that sometimes, you know what, folks have to win, and that's what keeps the business going. So, appreciate the kind words, guys, and that's something that we'll look to and strive to keep continue to do.
Yep. You set the tone for the industry, and we appreciate you. It is Thanksgiving, so we're kissing your butt a little bit, but you deserve it. Okay. walk us through the meeting today. You walked in. Chris Andrews is sitting there. You're kind of going through the numbers and the accounting from Thanksgiving, but as Michael mentioned, you got football all over the place. You got college hoops. You got hockey. I mean, this is just a wild day. Take us through the meeting today about today.
Well, you know, we just sit there, and it's actually, you know, it's not just about today, right? It's how things got set up yesterday. Oftentimes, you know, we often talk about that Thursday night game, right, and how it kind of lights the fuse and sets the tone for the carryovers into the weekend, right? Well, yesterday you had three NFL games and a college football game doing that. So there's live tickets today. From yesterday, typically the Thursday night would set up Saturday and especially Sunday and, of course, Monday. Well, what you've got now is three games that all have a bearing on what's going – four games if you include the Egg Bowl – that have a bearing on a decent schedule today of college football going to tomorrow's games, of course, going to be highlighted by the Michigan-Ohio State game. And then, of course, everything going to Sunday. Oh, and by the way, you've got Monday. So lots of churn and lots of carryover to where instead of one game setting the tone on Thursday night, you actually had three pro games and one college game setting the tone for today, tomorrow, Sunday, and, of course, Monday night.
Vinny, I have a question, and this has kind of been bothering me even in my drunken state of COVID. So the Packers going to Philadelphia. It opens at 7. It's now at 6.5. When mm-hmm. the Packers went to Buffalo, they were a 10.5-point dog. So are you telling me Buffalo would be a 4-point favorite over Philadelphia?
Buffalo, right now, Michael, on a neutral field, I don't have it quite that high. I've got it more like 2.5 to 3 on a neutral field. I mean, my power ratings have the Chiefs, the Bills, and then actually the Niners, and then the Eagles close behind them. So I'm not saying it would necessarily be 4, but it'd probably be a field goal on a neutral field, yeah.
That surprises me, and maybe I have Philly too high. My power rankings go Buffalo, Kansas City, Philly, and I have Dallas at 4, and my game codes have Kansas City as the hardest team to play, but Philly's really good too. But my interest in that was I haven't thought Buffalo's played well the last 3 weeks, and even though Philly hasn't either, but to me there's that variation is both teams haven't played well, but that seemed like a wide margin to me, where Green Bay's a double-digit dog in Buffalo, but they're trending the other way under a touchdown.
Yeah, and again, every game is different. You've got to, were we high on some of them previously? Were we low on some? I mean, you look at, again, a great example to your point, Michael, is when you look last week when the Cowboys were favored against the Vikings. Well, the public really decided that, right? When you think about it, I mean, we opened the game pick 'em, and it was bet quite heavily to the Cowboys' favor there. So, again, sometimes you've got to. We look at the matchups, and we look at a lot of factors, not just who was favored against another team at another time, because. If you did that, you would your math would go askew, and you would wind up with numbers that are completely out of whack. You've got to say, okay, look, where do we stand? What adjustments do we make after these particular games? And then put the power ratings together, and then post the numbers, and yep. Folks, bet away.
And before we say goodbye, your Michigan Ohio State number is what? Is it 7.5?
7.5, right there, touchdown. Okay.
Happy holidays, Vinny. We appreciate
Thanks
you.
Thank so
you
very much. Appreciate it. Have a weekend. Great day. Send my best to Jimmy as well. Chrissy, too.
I will.
And the we'll hot dog it. Cart. Michael's top 5 quarterbacks will shock you coming back.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, it's VP Black Friday. That is, for those that are VSiN pros, you're going to get $30. So make sure you go sign up, VSiN.com/subscribe. When you become a VSiN pro, you're going to get $30 in credit, so you can spend it at the VSiN store. The VSiN store is really, if you haven't been to there, got a lot of options. Hats, t-shirts, mugs, you got it all there. It's Black Friday. And that's our offer, and we're sticking to it. It's VSiN.com/subscribe. Okay, a couple things. While you're at VSiN.com, we are about 29, 30 minutes away from the United States taking on England at the World Cup there in Qatar. Don't bet it until you've checked out the guide. VSiN.com/subscribe. The betting guide for the World Cup is there. Just a great job all around by everybody. So make sure you check it out. I'll say this, Michael. There's a lot of strategy involved now. Berhalter is the head coach of the U.S. men's national team. I'm not a big fan of his. He couldn't adjust to Wales, their high pressure in the second half on Monday. Well, the pressure that's going to be provided by England today with Saka and Kane and Sterling, all the names that you know and love. I mean, I don't know how the United States is going to stand up to him. And again, remember, a lot of this is strategy. Look, he's laughing. A lot of this is strategy because on Tuesday, by way of Iran beating Wales today, essentially, on Tuesday, it becomes a win and you're in for the United States in Iran. So the United States gets a point, a draw today against England, and that is just massive. So you could see them kind of park the bus and play a little defensively minded. My problem with that is, even if they chill and play back and defensively, I think England can still score against them.
So they're just looking for a draw. Is that what you're saying today?
Listen, a draw would be huge here. I'm not going to go through all the machinations because there's goal differential and all that. But what we do know is we look ahead to Tuesday and that Iran match. Essentially, if you win it, you're on to the 16. So you know, there is motivation for England to win today, and I'll tell you why. England wins today, they ensure themselves an advancement to the knockout stage, the round of 16, but they still have another match in the group tournament against Wales, but you can rest your players then. You see, so you can kind of take it easy in that final match if you're England. Harry Kane's dealing with there's fitness issues, not just Harry Kane, but Walker and some others. So again, it'll be fascinating to see what Berhalter and the squad do today, because will they press and just play for and literally do what you're supposed to do, which is try to go out and win the game? Or are they going to, gamesmanship wise, are they going to try to get out of there with a point and a draw? It'll be fascinating. I'll be curious to see, are they on the front foot, or do they call it on the front foot, Michael, in soccer, because that means you're pressing, or are they going to pull back? But again, if they do pull back, I think England has the quality to score against them anyway if they go into a defensive shape. So that's that.
Okay, good. How about college football? I mean, last night.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
So, VSiN.com/betsgiving, let's go through our strategy on the air, because you and I have to pick tonight.
To pick college games today?
No, we have to pick one of the rivalry games. Okay. So, here's what I'm going to do in real time. I'm going to give you the three games and the number in real time. And all I want, you don't have to give a play. I just want your initial reaction. Okay. Ohio State is hosting Michigan. That number is 7.5 at some shops. Circa is Ohio State laying 8.5. I'll give you 8 on the game with Ohio State laying it to call it even.
And my understanding is the weather's going to be in the 50 degrees and not cold.
The weather should be absolutely fine.
It's perfect. I have trouble believing that Ohio State's going to be tough enough. I would take the Michigan in the 8 points.
Okay. I agree with you. So let's just put that over here, and I'll give you the next one. This is going to be our betsgiving strategy here. I agree with you on Michigan. Give me the points all day. Notre Dame-USC rivalry. USC laying 4.5. Does that feel short to you?
It does. I don't have much. I think Notre Dame has, you know, obviously improved during the season. You know, the USC win against UCLA was interesting, to say the least. USC kind of has been able to sneak out some wins. But my instincts tell me these are the kind of games where USC finds a way to get it done. I would take USC. I know the line's moving towards Notre Dame. It opened at 6, but I would take USC.
Well, let's be square together, because I love USC. Notre Dame can't take advantage of USC's weakness. USC is a terrible defensive team. Notre Dame, they run the football fine, but again, that quarterback's not going to hurt you. That's just a basic breakdown. Now let's go to the last one. I want nothing to do with Cadillac Williams and the emotion right now with Auburn. Auburn's at at Alabama, and Alabama's laying 22. Maybe something jumps out to you. That's one of those I stay away from, because the Cadillac factor right now with Auburn, there's some juice to that program.
Look, but I think this is an interesting game in this sense. I would take Alabama. And here's why I'm taking Alabama. Because this is Alabama's moment. Because of where they're positioned. Because of Tennessee's loss. Because of where they are sixth, right? And they're not going to go to a playoff game. So they could just be on the outside looking in. And if their LSU stubs their toe again, and they're not there, all of a sudden, and if they have a dominating win against an Auburn coaching staff who knows they're out the door. And there's still some, you know, I mean, Ole Miss is calling people around the college football saying, if Lane goes, will you take this job? I mean, that's where this is. And I'm really mad at myself, because I thought Lane was staying, and that's why I really liked Ole Miss against Arkansas last week. I got bad information. You know, Lane was leaving, and I should have been all over Arkansas, and I kind of didn't get that right. And maybe I heard it wrong, and my hearing and all that can be a factor. But I think this is one of those where Nick's got to have one of his most dominant wins against a dysfunctional franchise in Auburn. I know these are always close games, but this one shouldn't be close.
So just to circle back on Lane, remember, in college football, college basketball, and college athletics, the athletic director, the relationship with the coaches, that's what matters. And the athletic director now at Auburn is the athletic director that hired Lane at Ole Miss. That's the connection.
And I was told originally they were not going down the Lane road. They were reaching for the stars to go to Dabo. And I know there's a strong...
They ain't getting Dabo.
They're not getting Dabo. We know that. There's a strong movement within the building to go after Deion, led by Bo Jackson, which would make sense. You know,
totally makes sense.
But now I'm hearing Hugh Freeze is number two. And maybe is Deion going to Georgia Tech? I think that's Billy O'Brien's gig. I'm not sure, but that's what I heard. So there's a lot of moving parts. Who gets West Virginia? Will Jimbo leave A&M to go to West Virginia? He's not leaving that money. Just we'll put that out there. So there's a lot of things going on here. You know, so I just think, to me, Alabama, if they put up a decisive win against Auburn, you know, they could position themselves to be back in it as a two-loss team. Because we know the committee has them ranked higher. We know Vinny has them ranked high.
Yes. Let me say this. Hugh Freeze has bigger wins at Liberty than Lane has at USC, Tennessee, and Ole Miss combined.
And the way he managed the game, the way he managed the end of that game, that people are thinking that he's going to turn a program around.
He hasn't won anything.
At that place, the most politically unbelievable place in all of college football, where there's just all sorts of infighting all the time. I mean, you need somebody there who has got maturity and political savviness. I was talking to somebody that actually knows Lane, and he, you know, that might not be a good job for him. Yeah, you know. And now last night he said, "Well, I'm coming back to Mississippi." Well, at last Saturday afternoon, when I reconvened on my information, he was taking that job. That report that came out, I don't think was inaccurate.
Before he's 50 years old, you can see why people have an issue. He's been the head coach of the Raiders. He's been the head coach of Tennessee for a season. He underwhelmed. He did a terrible job at USC. And now he was just in his biggest spot possible at Ole Miss and fell apart against Bama. Tell me what he's won. Tell me why he would deserve to get another big-time job.
I don't know how Auburn would sit there and embrace him and say, okay, he's going to beat Nick. He had his best chance to beat Nick that he's ever going to have when he was at Ole Miss.
Ever. I guess it's the personality and the tempo of the offense and the excitement, but other than that,
it's comedy. Come on, it's comedy. I mean,
like I said, Hugh Freeze has won bigger games at Liberty. That's facts.
And you know, and Hugh at a program that's, you know, look, and took a player from Auburn that they kicked out, not kicked him out. He left, and they wouldn't play him, so he left, and now he's a, you know, backup quarterback of the NFL, Malik Willis.
Don't you think if you're Auburn, though, I would go for a culture reset and take a gamble? I think Deion's the right call. Let's see what happens. Let's bring him in and see what happens.
I would, because Deion, what people tell me that Auburn wants is they want a CEO. They want somebody who's going to mingle with the alum, who's going to be able to play golf, who's going to spend time making sure that everybody's the alignment is perfect within the football foundation. Not a guy who's going to spend all his time working on football. Well, I'm not saying Deion won't spend time on football, but that kind of fits Deion perfectly. But, you know, the AD, I don't know who's making the call. You know, like, they could say the AD's making the call, but we all know these ADs report to people that donate the money. You know, and so that's what it comes down to.
Let's do this. When we come back, we'll talk during the break. We're going to give our play on the rivalry games. We like Michigan catching the 8. We like USC laying the 4.5. And we like Bama laying the 22. When we come back, we'll give our bets giving play on the rivalries. For more information on the tournament, you can go to vsin.com/betsgiving. Lombardi Line here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, unleash the spirit of Vegas, BetMGM Rewards. So every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you're going to get points. When you get those points, you can use them for credits like a free bet or to travel to Vegas. Go to Vegas and do it on BetMGM. Visit BetMGM.com or download the app. 21 years or older, it's betting's premier loyalty program. 1-800-GAMBLER. So, BetsGiving is lit. VSiN.com/BetsGiving. Here's what I will say about USC and Notre Dame for the rivalry. We're going to lay 4.5. Okay, the number's going the other way. Screw it. Notre Dame's going to need 500 yards on offense. They'll get 400. It's going to be the difference because we know USC's going to move the football. And just when you start capping motivation, USC very much is alive for the college football playoff. That's on
this
the table.
This is do here. Or die. I mean, you know, and look, the one thing about when you after you're done a Pac-12 game, it isn't like you got beat up. So it's like you can come back and play. And, you know, and I just feel like that one thing I've learned about college, when the number moves, that's never been a good thing. I think follow the number is not good in college. That's just from my experience. You know, I'd much rather be on the side of, you know, we're against the money. So I'll go with SC and roll it with Lincoln Riley, thinking that, you know, that they can make enough plays in the game. To me, no one's taken Ohio State, which is surprising. They only have 28% of the money on the splits. But I just feel like, and I said this to a coach in college last night, we were talking after Thanksgiving, is like once Ohio State gets punched in the mouth, are they going to punch back? Like, this Michigan team is tough. I will say that. They are tough. And they've got a great kicker. Their quarterback can make enough plays. I just think it's you get more than a touchdown. I don't think they're going to go away. I really don't.
I agree. I liked Michigan catching the eights. One thing I will say is you almost tipped me to go Alabama, because let them know what the splits are. And you can check out the splits over at VSiN.com with the betting splits. Aren't we essentially 90-plus on Auburn right now? Is that what you were telling me?
98%. 98% of the money is on Auburn. And the line hasn't. The line opened at 21.5, and it's 22 in every shop across the board. And on the books that I'm looking at, on our books, is 98% of the money is
run.
On Auburn.
Don't 80%. Yeah.
80% of the tickets is on Auburn. 98%. Nobody's taking Alabama yet. The line's sitting there frozen. That leads me to Alabama. Look, Nick's got time to get ready. Auburn has had time. Do they have time to get ready, or do they have time to get ready to leave? I mean, if Nick doesn't really take advantage of the situation at Auburn right now, is he ever going to? Here's Cadillac. He's already, you know, he's fighting for his job, and he knows he's getting replaced. It just becomes a little bit harder in there. I know those kids say, hey, this is the game. This is for bragging rights in the state. Yeah, it is. You know, but I'm not sure of that, you know, and I think there's some consternation within the program. I think that should manifest itself.
This is random. I don't know what your people and your scouts have told you, but there's potentially not too good, but that Brock Bowers at Georgia and Michael Mayer at Notre Dame, they could be great NFL players.
Oh, I think Michael Mayer is going to be tremendous.
Size.
Brock Bowers, I haven't seen him block enough to really say that. Michael Myers is going to be he tilts the field. I mean, he is going to be – he's Gronk, but he's ready to play. He's physical. He runs routes. I mean, their offense is horrendous. Just let's put that out there. It's really bad. Well, the quarterback who should be playing at John Carroll, not at Notre Dame, you know, great kid, I'm sure. No disrespect to him at all, and he deserves the scholarship that he got. Someone gave it to him. But if you're Notre Dame, you're looking at a higher level of talent. You know, it's funny. My man, Alistair Clarkson, became the head coach at Melbourne over there in Australia, and they posted a video on Instagram about it. Like, and he said, "Hey, we're looking for different type of people now. People in this room may not be able to play here anymore, because if we're going to win a premiership, we need a different type of player. When you're at Notre Dame, you need a different type of player. You need a different type of player. Like, it's not for everybody." And to me, when I am being critical of the quarterback, I don't mean it personally. I just mean it from an athletic standpoint. When you walk to a high school game and you're not wowed by the arm or the size of the quarterback, that guy shouldn't be at Notre Dame.
Nope. No, sir. And that was Lou Holtz. Remember when Lou Holtz took that job, he said, look, I'm getting the type of player into Notre Dame that we need to win championships here.
No doubt. No doubt. And he knew he wanted Tony Rice. He knew he wanted an option quarterback. He knew what he needed to win with. So he scoured the country to get the guy that he knew he could get into school without an exception, because he wasn't going to get one, that could matriculate his way through this process and graduate, because he knew he needed to do that. And, you know, he found the players that supplemented him, and he did enough that he could do it, and he played a game that he was comfortable playing.
Okay, so that's Betsgiving. We're going to go USC. We've got our three plays for the pro. We'll keep those to ourselves. You can go to VSiN.com/Betsgiving. Quickly, remember, you got about 12 minutes until the U.S. takes on England in the World Cup. Go to VSiN.com to check out the World Cup betting guide. if you're watching the game and you're a novice, it'll be very fascinating. If the United States have gumption and they're doing it for the right reasons, they're going to press. They're going to try to win this game or match, however you want to call it. If they don't, they're going to sit back. They're going to park the bus a bit, try to play for a draw. It'll be fascinating to see what Berhalter does schematically and as far as his scheme. We'll leave it there. But go check out the guide. Now, wanted to ask you, there's a couple numbers before we get out of here that I wanted to ask you about as far as the NFL. Should Tampa be laying the hook at Cleveland? It's 3.5 at a couple of shops.
You know, it's funny. My initial reaction to that when I was somewhat, I don't want to say sober, when I wasn't as sick as I ended up getting to, when I saw that line, that's ridiculous. That seems light. And when I ran my numbers, that wasn't light. I have this as 3.21 game. And when you look at the game codes,
you're right on the number.
When you look at the game codes, and I go through the game codes in this game, Cleveland actually has better game codes. I mean, Cleveland's strong in five areas, weak in one. I mean, in the top 12 in one, and then weak in eight. Whereas Tampa's really good in three. They're in the top 12 in two, and they're in the bottom. So they're kind of like in the middle of the pack. Their number's kind of in the middle. So, but here's what I wrote about this morning. I felt like with a week off against Joe Woods' defense, which isn't creative, Brady's going to have a really good handle. And a lot of this game, I think, is going to be controlled at the line of scrimmage. And if Joe wants to take away Brady's running, then he's going to give Brady some easy throws. If he's going to take away his runs, if he takes away his throws, he's going to get the run ball run down his throat. So I think the chess match between Brady, and I'm not diminishing Leftwich at all, but I think this is all be game plan. Like, there's so much you could do with the line against the Browns because they're not an exotic team. And they blow coverages when you move things around or when you check and you make them check. And I think it favors them. So, you know, I have the line just where it is. It stayed 3.5 pretty much all week, hasn't it? It hasn't moved. I thought there'd be a ton of action coming off the bye. Here's what I will say, too, about this, and I wrote this in my notes for this week, Patrick. I think teams coming off a bye, we have this belief that they're going to just all of a sudden just turn it back on again. You know, Dallas, off the bye, boom, they stubbed their toe. You know, Seattle's coming off a bye. Are they going to be as good as they were before they went onto the bye? I think there's a little bit of it takes some time to get going again. You know, you haven't practiced. The games are a little bit longer. You know, there's just not a lot of rhythm.
When you and I spoke on Monday, we said, Wilson, his play, yes, but also his comments may have got him benched. He's benched. White is in. Your thoughts?
He's not even benched. He's demoted. He's third string.
Yeah, he's not dressing.
Not even dressing. I mean, that you talk about, that wasn't even a decision. Like, you're out of here. We don't want anything to do with you. I think the Jets rally. Now, I don't see how, if Fields has got a separated shoulder in his non-throwing arm, like, I don't know how he can beat Fields. How's he going to run around? You know, it's like, you just can't go, you know, if you got separated shoulder over here, it's hard to throw the ball. It's hard to be in balance. I mean, you going with Trevor Siemian? That's why that line went from 3.5 up to 6. I'm surprised it hasn't gone even further. I think the Jets defense, especially playing at home, this Bear offensive line is not very good. And Fields has masked a lot of the problems with the offensive line. And when I break this game down, you know, I had this game as the Jets should be a 6-point favorite before the news, just solely on their numbers. And the Jets are significantly better in my game codes. I mean, I'm sure that my man Russo will take, I just told Eddie today, I already know his three picks. He's going to take the Jets, he's going to take Washington, and he's going to take Baltimore. I already know by the lines I just got from him. So I already know what he's going to do. So I think that'll be an easy play there.
Okay. Two players to look for if you do turn on United States and England. If Berhalter doesn't sub a Brenton Aaronson and Gio Reyna, he's simply waiting for Tuesday. So those
I'm
are gonna two
have to
names
write those
to look
names
out for.
On my hands. I'll never remember that.
Reyna,
you have to,
and Aaronson.
Reyna.
If they don't play today, fascinating what Berhalter's up to. This is going to be a monumental game. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe to get the World Cup betting guide. Michael, enjoy your Friday. Feel better. I'll see you tomorrow morning.
Thanks,
okay?
Patrick. Thank you. Thanks, Stephen Bond.
Big Bets is next.